God is, he is sovereign. He is greater than this entire universe. He is able to carry our emotions. Mm-hmm. He wants our transparency.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 10.
Welcome to See, Hear, Love, and this show, Through the Wilderness, I Will Pursue You, Jesus.
Wow.
Good one. Mm-hmm. And I think you are the best guest to talk about this with me today.
Yeah.
Sanai Litchmore, a registered psychotherapist and national speaker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Nicole Langman, award-winning author, Christian women speaker, and clinical counselor. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mel.
And Cheryl Nemhard, who's going to receive this mm-hmm. with joy and expectation. International speaker, author, podcaster, TV host, and social justice advocate. Mm-hmm. And I say this because in one of our last shows, we're like, you got to receive the compliment.
It is.
So there you
Good
have it.
Good to be here. Season 10.
Yeah, season 10. So Through the Wilderness, I Will Pursue You. And the reason why I and bringing this to us is because a few months ago, I was in Moncton, New Brunswick at the Harvest Concert conference. Over 1,100 women attended, over 143 churches represented, 5 provinces in Canada and 2 states represented. Wow. And the theme throughout the conference was pursuing God through the wilderness, that our purpose is Jesus. And I had an opportunity to sit down on a See, Hear, Love panel to talk to these women about their own stories. And it was such a joy because they were all women from the Maritimes. Mm-hmm. But I also got to meet Faith Urie Cho, who's the co-pastor at Mosaic Church in New Jersey, and Susie Silk, who's the teaching pastor at Church in the City in Manhattan. And they were the ones who brought up the story of Habakkuk mm-hmm. and this idea of Jesus is our purpose, who we need to pursue even in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So after I talked to them and it was like, you know, with all these women at the conference, I was like, I have to bring it here
yeah.
because this is such a powerful topic and theme to talk about. Mm-hmm. So here we are talking about Through the Wilderness, I Will Pursue You. Mm-hmm. And so, Nicole, I know that you're coming with, you know, sort of a synopsis of the book of Habakkuk. And a lot of people are like, I don't even know what that is, book, person. Mm-hmm. So take it away.
Yeah. So I guess I'm curious, how do you pronounce Habakkuk? Is it Habakkuk? Are you in team Habakkuk or Habakkuk?
Oh, well, definitely
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
Okay.
Okay.
So that,
we're
on the same page.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Not everybody pronounces it Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk, and I don't think that it matters all that much. But what we do know is that Habakkuk's or Habakkuk's name means wrestle, and it also means embrace. And I think it's a beautiful way to kind of package and frame this little book that's tucked in the Old Testament, because we see Habakkuk wrestle with God, and then we watch him move to a place of experiencing God's embrace yeah. and embracing his faith in an even new way.
Mm-hmm.
So Habakkuk was a prophet in Judah at about 600 BC, during a time of incredible corruption and chaos. And the good king Josiah had died, and Josiah had led the nation through a bit of a revival.
Mm-hmm.
But after he passed, under new leadership, Judah, it kind of became the wild, wild west.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Moral and spiritual decline. They reverted back to wickedness, idolatry, injustice. And Habakkuk was upset. He was upset and worried about the people. And he was also, quite frankly, really confused that where's God in this wild, wild west? Where is he? And so the entire book of Habakkuk is actually a conversation between the prophet and God, 3 chapters long. And we find Habakkuk's horizontal perspective here at the beginning of chapter 1, where he's noticing that he's assessing God's silence as leaving injustice and sin unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
And so he opens the dialogue with a really pointed, direct question. And I love this, and I'm so grateful for it, because it reminds us that we can ask God hard questions.
Yeah.
And right at the very beginning, he says, how long, O Lord, shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry violence and you will not save? So Habakkuk is asking a question that so many of us have asked. you're a good God. Mm-hmm. So why is a good God allowing such bad things to happen? It's familiar. Yeah. It's a familiar question. And God engages, but he doesn't engage in a way that Habakkuk expects. Mm-hmm. In fact, we find that God is allowing the Babylonians, an even more corrupt nation, to conquer Judah. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't make any sense to Habakkuk. Mm-hmm. Because God doesn't always answer our questions the way that we think he should.
Exactly.
And he doesn't always rescue us the way that we think he should. And he certainly leaves us more confused sometimes, doesn't he? So as we listen on, we see that God reassures Habakkuk, and I love this, look at the nations and watch. This is beautiful. Be utterly amazed, for I'm about to do something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if you had been told. So God's plan is unfolding in the background. Habakkuk, in his horizontal perspective and his humanness, he can't see that. But God has always been and continues to be sovereign over the nations, sovereign over history, always at work behind the scenes. And then there's this pivotal verse in chapter 2. And God says, see, the enemy is puffed up. I love this. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. It's almost like mic drop in a sense, right? And I wonder if this is a place that Habakkuk shifts his perspective a little bit, and he moves from wrestling with God to experiencing God's embrace. He moves from that horizontal perspective to a more vertical perspective. And we see this in other places in the Bible, don't we? Job, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. Jesus, as he faced the cross, not my will, but your will be done. This is a vertical perspective. And so Habakkuk wraps up his conversation in chapter 3 by declaring his faith and his trust in God in this really powerful section. And he says, even though the fig tree has no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, and this is his no matter what statement, and I love this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. There's exclamation points as he says this. The sovereign Lord is my strength. I just love that. This is not a superficial faith that trusts God when things are easy or manageable, but this is a soul-bending, face-on-the-floor faith that says no matter what is happening, I will trust you, God. I will follow you. I will be joyful in you. I will praise you no matter what.
Wow. Good.
Oh, my goodness. And this is why we see Habakkuk quoted so much in the New Testament. The righteous shall live by faith. It's like Habakkuk lived it. And it was just repeated to us throughout the scriptures. It's so powerful. Thank you for that.
It's a beautiful book. Just three chapters.
And the reason why I brought it is that when we were discussing this in the conference, this was the ongoing theme. Because like you said, you know, it's the dialogue between Habakkuk about, you know, and he's in distress about how God is not answering prayers. He actually says, like, inactive. Not answering. About the injustice of the world. And how many of us have felt that? Or, you know, Habakkuk's like, you know, there is so much injustice and there's war. You're not answering. I feel alone. I feel like I'm just sort of like calling out and you're not saying anything. And yet,
And yet,
I will still pursue you. And yet, I will still call out for you. And yet, you know, the promises that you have for me, like I love the one about where he talks about that he will strengthen us and he will give us like the feet of a deer. And when you think of the deer in those times, like the mountain deer, they were ones that could like climb high and to the heights without falling. And so, so much, it's rich. It's like, I think we should go back to the book of Habakkuk and read it, you know, over and over to get that. You know, especially in those times of like desolation, isolation, discouragement, and wilderness, we still cry out. And God says, I will give you feet like a deer so you can climb the heights. You know?
No matter what.
Vertical no perspective. Matter what.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Cheryl, what stands out to you?
There's a couple of things. One, I just want to free people from the religious weight that says we can't question God. I grew up in a faith that you dare not show any displeasure. But God is, he is sovereign. He is greater than this entire universe. He is able to carry our emotions. He wants our transparency. He wants us to say, I'm hurting. I don't get it. help me to understand. Mm-hmm. And so withholding those true feelings brings this counterfeit relationship with God. We want to have that honest, open, vulnerable relationship. Yes. That's how it grows and strengthens. So I'm just encouraging people, first off, to say what they really feel, yeah. to pray it through, cry it through, yell it through. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done that, you talked in another show that we had about our word of the year. You talked about having done all mm-hmm. to stand. Mm-hmm. This standing in this context is about standing in trust that God hates injustice, mm-hmm. that he sees right from wrong, and that he is working it out. Mm-hmm. And I think we suffer woundedness because I call it punching above our weight class. We are not God. Yep. Our only job is to trust him, let him handle justice and vengeance and all of the things and, you know, like the desolation, whatever we're hoping for. Let God be God. In that moment, can we just surrender and say, God, in this moment, I don't get it, but I trust you.
Yeah.
And I surrender that this hurts, but this doesn't change, right. even though this feels new and different. Yeah. I love that.
That was good, the horizontal and then like vertical. Yeah. I like when you kept saying that because mm-hmm. you actually visually see.
Yeah, exactly.
Here is what we think. It's always the horizontal level. Yeah. This is a linear way of thinking. Yeah. And then it's like, but actually, it's this way.
And just a 10-second recap. This is for someone. It has to matter, guys, because there's so many women that we know that their faith changes based on what's happening in their
on
life.
On circumstances and, mm-hmm.
strong women that we know that are now deconstructing and leaving. So if we could just solidify this, knowing that this is going to be just rocky, I think it would change a lot of things.
Yeah.
When you were doing the reading, what was sticking out to you? Because you're kind of giving the synopsis, but what was impacting you?
When I reviewed this book, I went back to, this is an old Bible that I used in 2017, 2018, when I was in a really desolate place, dark place, and all of these notes I had written in the Bible in Habakkuk, which I had studied obviously at the time, and I thought, how powerful this is jumping out still even now, all these years later, and I can review it back with this different frame of reference. Mm-hmm. But what still stands out for me is that God's answers don't always look like we want them to. And so when we ask him for something and we say, you know, God, we really want this, please can you provide this? And sometimes he says no. Sometimes he uses something very strange to accomplish his purposes that we don't understand. But because he's in this totally different realm, that's where the trust comes in. That's where the faith comes in. It's like, I don't get it, God. I'm not God. I'm going to let you be God.
That's right.
And I'm just going to follow you.
That's right.
And so what stands out to me is that sometimes the answer isn't what we ask for, but that doesn't change his goodness. It doesn't change his attention to detail. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change his perfect timing and his perfect plans.
No, that's good. Because again, a lot of people around me, their idea of God is based on the circumstances or the answers to prayer or the things that meet their needs. So when it doesn't happen, we're like, God isn't there. God doesn't care for me. God doesn't love me. God isn't for me. Where is God? They're angry and then they leave. And I've seen more and more in the past years of people going, he's not who he says he is. He's how can a loving God do X? How come a loving God doesn't answer this? How come a loving God allows for this? And then they're like, If that's it, then there is no God. Then I can't trust God. And yet when I look at Habakkuk, which is why I wanted to bring this, it's, you know, even though, and the answers are not what we want, Habakkuk was still like, I will like press in, I will trust that you will strengthen me, that you will, you know, be with me, that even though the fig tree doesn't, blossom, you know, blossom and all these things don't happen, I still will pursue you, choose you.
Exactly. I think for me, it's like, I think Habakkuk gives us permission to lament, gives us permission to wrestle with God. When he would pray out and call out to God, God didn't condemn him. He didn't shame him for how he was speaking to him. But instead, God responded differently than he expected. But God responded to him. Mm-hmm. It was like he's still his child. He still loved him. And he still wanted to reveal himself to him. But he wasn't condemning him. And I think that's an important example for us, that there's no shame in us being weary and us not knowing how we're going to get out of the wilderness. We can bring that to God, and God in his loving kindness will embrace all of us, even if it doesn't look like the way we would like it to look like, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at SeeHearLove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seehearlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seehearlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
So wilderness experiences, and of course you know that I'm going to be like, all right, let's talk about our own. Because the way that we connect is sharing our stories, you know, with vulnerability and openness. So wilderness stories, and how were we able to navigate through, and or not? Maybe we didn't do it well, you guys. Maybe through our wilderness, we didn't do it all the right way. But I would love to hear your wilderness stories and how you have, you know, how you overcame them. I know a lot of people are like, can we talk about being in it? Yeah. And we will do that. But I want, how did we get through it and what happened? Who wants to go? Who wants to be like, yep.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Okay, go for it.
Stepping in.
Okay.
Very clearly, my wilderness story is the thing that I write and speak about, and that kind of perspective is the several years ago, my husband of almost 20 years walked away from our marriage. And I've shared this story before, and I'll continue to share it, not because I think it's a fun story to share. It's not. What is fun about it is what God did with it. And that was so much wilderness. I often say I was wrecked face down in the valley of rejection, betrayal, abandonment. I was so confused. My identity was rocked. I say I was kicked out of my favorite club, the wife club. I didn't know my identity anymore. And I wrestled with God so much in the valley. And I say that that God's best workbench is often in the valley. It's where he does so much of his work with us. And I wrestled with not so much trusting God, but how the future was going to look. What does this mean for me now, Lord? Like, what does this actually mean? And I remember a conversation that I had with him, very, very pointed conversations. I have not been afraid to ask hard questions. And I said, how am I ever going to trust a man again? And in my heart, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you don't need to worry about that right now. You just need to trust me. And it was this unbelievable. I leapt out of my chair. I danced around.
Hey,
I danced.
Dancing.
And I was just celebrating this beautiful reminder from the Lord around, right, my perspective out here, this wilderness is terrifying. I don't know how to navigate it. I don't know. And so very clearly, he was saying, just trust me. I'm your leader. Follow me. And I had a situation this summer where we were up on the mountain. We ride motorcycles. My husband now, I'm married to my high school sweetheart, and he's just such a gift to me. But we were riding our motorcycles up in the mountains in Washington. And I was not having a good time. I was in the wilderness. We were way up the side of a mountain. And I said, I am done. I got to get off this mountain. And he said, I'll get you down here. You're down the mountain. You just need to follow me. You just need to trust me. And I thought in that moment, that's God's, that's how God talked to us in the wilderness. Trust him, follow him, let him be the leader.
That's good. Wow.
That's really good.
It's really good. Wilderness.
So for me, when I think of a wilderness story, I didn't recognize I was in this wilderness until I looked at my journals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else can relate to this, but when I'm in the wilderness sometimes, I do everything I can to pretend that I'm not. You know, I push through, mm-hmm. I try to access all my resources, my self-sufficiency, all the mm-hmm. things, because I don't want to admit that I have nothing left. Mm-hmm. I don't like admitting that I'm at rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And so I remember looking through these journals, and it was when I had my second child, 2016. I was in the wilderness. I became a mom of two. I had a near-death experience 1 week after I gave birth to my second child. I was hospitalized. I moved to the suburbs. I lived in Toronto my whole life. So here I am, no community, two mm-hmm. kids. My husband worked downtown, so I was at home for a long period of time. It was winter, mm-hmm. And it was very challenging. Mm-hmm. It was very challenging. And in that season, I did what I knew how, and that was depend on myself. Mm-hmm. And only when mm-hmm. I had nothing else to grasp, I had nothing else to hold on to, mm-hmm. that I had to look towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. And my faith, I truly believe that my faith was strengthened in that season. In that season, I found a new church, a new community. Yes. And I started giving birth to ideas and visions of my life that I never imagined. Like mm-hmm. one of them is being like a full-time mom, a stay-at-home mom. I never even thought of being a full-time mom. Mm-hmm. But in that wilderness season, I read my journals back and I was crying out to God, like, God, I want to stay at home mm-hmm. so bad. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to work. Yeah. And 3 years later, it happened. It didn't happen. Wow. It didn't happen at that period. I had to go back to work. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I was able to stay home for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so thankful that I recorded that mm-hmm. because I think it would have been very hard for me to look back and recognize that I was in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, it's really
that's
good.
So good.
Journaling, I think that's really important because mm-hmm. we can look back at what we wanted and actually see how it has come to be.
Exactly.
The timing, like you said, it's God doesn't answer in the way and timing that we always want. But if you look back at a journal, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he did answer in a different way, different time, different season, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You get to choose your wilderness game with me. Would you like a financial wilderness story, spiritual wilderness?
Wilderness.
Choose
your wilderness.
Relational wilderness.
Choose your wilderness. Okay.
Go ahead. Just say which one.
Relational.
I'll tell you.
Relational.
Wilderness.
Whichever one works. Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I found myself very, very much alone and siloed. And it had a lot to do with what was going on personally. I'm very closed. I don't share a lot. I don't trust anyone. It's not a good thing. Don't be like that. And I just found myself holding on to the pain, not white flagging. And I was just it was overwhelming to go through what I was going through, but then not have anyone because I just didn't know. And that loneliness started to feed into my fatherlessness in ways mm-hmm. that I didn't expect. And mm-hmm. so my reaction to the loneliness and the hardship was I did what I did to my natural father, to mm-hmm. my spiritual father. I estranged myself. Mm-hmm. I removed myself. I stopped praying. Well, I guess it's a spiritual wilderness story. I stopped mm-hmm. reading. It was my way of like, I'm displeased. Mm-hmm. I'm not spending another moment in this prayer Christianity thing. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, how God answered that to show me that, you know what, it's not about your religious forms and fashions. It's about your heart. I just want you. I just mm-hmm. want a father-daughter relationship. Mm-hmm. People showed up that I never spoke to. I said no words to them, nothing. I would open the doorbell would ring, and there would be on the top of my stairs and down, right to the ground, groceries. Mm-hmm. 15 to 20 bags of groceries. I said nothing to no one. I've seen God move like that over and over again. I've had people just say, hi, Cheryl, I don't even need to know. Do you have 5 minutes? I was asked by God to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Hey, Cheryl, just calling. I know you didn't answer. It's the fifth ring, so I'm going to leave this voice message. This is the verse for you. And it be right on. Mm-hmm. So God was just like, you don't want to have a relationship with me, but I will never let go of you.
He pursues his kids.
Pursues.
Yeah.
Like as we say, we want to pursue him in the wilderness. He also pursues us.
Yeah, that's right.
But just to your point, as a real time example, when it's hard and it's disappointing, I was so shocked that my reaction was to pull away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just not like me, and I just could not open the Bible, could not pray, so I get it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah, that was...
Cheryl, it even reminded me how we're never alone in the wilderness. You tried to be alone.
I tried.
Nice try.
Shut the blinds, didn't answer the phone.
Yeah.
And yet.
Yeah. That's what I think, though, you know, as I share mine about community and people. Mm. When people ask me all the time, like, why are you a follower of Jesus? And I can share about Jesus, but a big one is the community of what it means to be a part of a community of Jesus followers, brothers and sisters and family, is like no other. Yeah. Because there's a spiritual connection that they know that you're in need and they need to show up. And that's the call of us, right? As followers of Jesus, we show up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You show up and you do goodness, as we shared in our, you know, Fruits of the Spirit in our in our New Year's show.
What's your world?
Yeah, so I've shared this before, but I went through a very hard, dark night of the soul of my depression. And there were so many factors where many things happened that caused me to crash. And they call it, like the doctors, my therapist, it was, you know, circumstantial depression. It was overloaded, me trying to be superwoman, overachiever, make it all happen, 10 balls in the air, and one by one, they all fell. Mm-hmm. Relationship ended, you know, work problems, physical challenges, an accident, being hit on the highway over and over. And I was like, I'm fine. I have to keep achieving and doing my job and being this great Christian person that does, you know, that does television. And I crashed. Mm-hmm. And that was dark. Yeah. Like when you say dark night of the soul, I couldn't get up. I couldn't have a shower. It was dark. And the battle in me was, how can I go dark when I know that God's Spirit is in me? Like, I battled this Christian thinking of, like, I can't be depressed. Yeah. I have Jesus. Yeah. I can't be depressed. I know all his promises. I can't be depressed. It was a battle. And yet, over and over, God's people and family showed up. Knocking, and we're going to throw you in the shower. When was the last time you had a shower? I don't know. In the shower we go, washing my hair, casseroles, prayers, people actually showing up and saying, I'm going to drive you to your doctor's appointment, to your therapist's appointment. You're not getting out of this.
Yeah.
It took a village. It took everybody.
Yeah.
But it was dark. And finally, and I share this, when I finally kind of came out of it and I was like, who's going to want me? What's going to happen? My mentor, who I've talked about before, who helped me launch See, Hear, Love, phoned me up and said, God shook me, woke me up and said, I need to hire you, even though you're depressed. Lorna Duick, she's like, God told me to hire you. You have no education. You have no background. You're depressed. Did I say that again? You're depressed. Mm-hmm. But God told me, hire Melinda. Yeah. It's her time.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that moment where I was like, I'm not defined by depression. Mm-hmm. Wow. God uses all kinds of people to get through.
Yeah. Wow. Yep.
And here I am.
Yeah.
So the wilderness was dark, but on the other side, it took everybody. It took obedience, but it also took me to say, okay, I'm ready to get out of the wilderness. Yeah. I'm ready to go and trust. Mm. And so, but in all honesty, I'm very aware of the cyclical things. If things overwhelm me, I have to actually stop myself and make sure that, you know, it's good. On that, a lot of it, as we talked about, people and prayer. Mm-hmm. And I know that prayer is the big thing as you're in the wilderness. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray this way. We're like not the horizontal, but vertical. And so if you're struggling today with, you know, the wilderness, you're struggling physically, spiritually, mentally, you're not alone because we have someone to pray with you 24/7 who will listen, pray for you during the show and after the show. We're here for you. Here's how you can connect with someone today.
My daughter's been diagnosed with a rare illness. Every night, I lie awake, worried and scared. Your prayers have brought us so much peace and strength. You were there for us when we needed it most.
So please make sure that you call. We're with you 24/7 through the wilderness in any challenges you have. We want to be there for you. Okay, some last thoughts. For women that are in the wilderness right now struggling, what is your encouragement as we close up the show? Cheryl?
20 seconds. When you don't know what to do, keep doing what you've known to do. Keep worshiping, keep praying, keep trusting. Don't change anything, don't disconnect. In fact, that's the time to lean in. Go opposite to your natural tendency to shut down and lean in and do what you've always known to do. Keep those rhythms.
Good.
What you learned in the dark, remember, remember what you learned in the light.
I
would say document Godisms. What is God doing? Where is he showing up? What are you noticing? Does he give you a great parking spot at the grocery store? Are people calling you, honoring your what you're going through, bringing you groceries, praying for you? Remember that, document him.
And for me, your wilderness is not who you are. Your identity is not rooted in your struggle. Your identity is rooted in Christ. And so just step in that and accept that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Knight Nicole Sherrill, thank you so much for your encouragement, for your passion, for your lives, for being here, and for pursuing Jesus no matter what. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. And thank you for joining us. For more information about us, seehearlove.com. And know, even through the wilderness, you are seen, you are heard, and you are so deeply loved by God. Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.